Gospel of Matthew tonight, chapter number 7. Read a few verses there and continue where we've been for a little while. And possible we'll finish up tonight. Possible I don't have a clue what we're going to do. When I said it's possible, I don't have a clue. I'm sure I'm surprised I didn't have a whole bunch of resounding amens and hallelujahs, hand waves, and people taking laps. Amen. Amen. But the last few Wednesday nights, we've been looking at, beginning in November, December, and then here the first of the year, we've been looking at prayer in looking at it from the perspective of Wednesday night service has typically been, you know, traditionally what we would call prayer meeting. And, you know, the only day that the Bible speaks of that we worship is the Lord's Day. That's the only day that is set aside specifically for the worship of God. But there are folks who would see that there was a need for not simply waiting an entire week for services, but for the church to meet in the middle of the week really for prayer and to be able to affect an eternal change in their communities and in their homes, in their church, you know, for the advance of the gospel. And so a lot of people began having a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sometimes it's Bible study, sometimes it's prayer meeting. I mean, I've heard people say this, well, you know, Wednesday night's prayer meeting night. Well, I understand that. But as churches, if we decide we want to have Bible study, we want to have prayer, whatever the Lord wants us to do, we can go any direction. And so the last little while, I wanted to really kind of concentrate on prayer because traditionally that's been where the Wednesday night service has had an emphasis is on prayer. And in all honesty, there is a weakness in churches because, listen to me, churches just typically do not pray. And when you announce a, you know, like a special meeting, often there is a there is a fervor over it. There is an excitement. People want to, you know, hear, you know, different preacher or a different preacher or preachers. People expect others to come in and just, you know, sometimes we expect the Lord to move in such a way that, and I'm just going to ask a question tonight. How many of us have expected God to move in a church service where we'll have congregational singing, we'll have special singing, and we'll have preaching? How many people expect God to move? I mean, how many of us have? We ought to expect that. We ought to expect God to move. And I know this sounds crazy to some of us, but how many of us expect God to move during prayer meeting time? How many of us really expect God to do something? I mean, how many times have you ever been in the prayer room, whether it's by yourself, with a group of other people, maybe a prayer room at church, and it has been so good, you would much rather stay there than come out of the prayer room and talk to people. Yeah, yeah. And there are times, you know, you come up, when we were in church in Tennessee, we'd come up from the prayer room downstairs. You know, you come upstairs and it's just like you've got all, you know, most of the men in the church would come to the prayer room. And when we got down to pray, it's just like, my goodness gracious, you can just hear. It sounded like a, I don't know how to describe it. A lot of people, well, we don't need to pray out loud because, you know, God's not deaf. And, well, I pray out loud because it helps drown out everybody else who's praying out loud. Well, we should just pray in our hearts and just pray silently and everything. Well, we're going to just pray silently and everything, then really, it loses that fellowship to hear somebody else call out your prayer request in prayer. And when our requests are being called out, it does something. Somebody cares about me. Somebody's concerned enough to mention my name, to mention my needs, and to go to God on my behalf. That helps. That's helpful to know that other people are praying for you. And incidentally, I'll throw this out at you. I read this here the other day that Robert Murray McShane, the Scots preacher, died in the mid-18th century. He said that, if I heard Jesus praying for me in the next room, he said, I wouldn't fear anything. So if you're in one room and you hear Jesus calling your name out, you wouldn't fear a thing, would you? Not a cotton-picking thing. Amen. But then he said this, but distance makes no difference. He is still praying for me. And when we come in for on a Wednesday night for prayer, we want to take some time to pray. We need to ask God to help us. Our church will be no stronger, not than our song service, not than our as good a job as Brother David tries to do and the ladies try to do and Brother Artie, you know, and all who play. As much as that's good, that's not going to be the strength of our church. The strength of our church isn't going to be how great and how wonderful, you know, we think we might know something. I mean, honestly, it's going to be built on preaching, and it's going to be built on how we live, God, that we honor God in our lives and be holy. It's going to be built on that. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't seek God and ask God to help, Brother Charles Lawson said this down in Knoxville. This has been probably 20 years ago, and it stuck with me. He said, if you are not praying, you are playing. Now, I know that's kind of offensive to some folks because it hurts our feelings. Nobody wants to get their feelings hurt. Sometimes we just need to get, you know, have ourselves shaken just a minute, looked, you know, at each other in our God-given eyeball and ask, you know, let God just kind of shake us up a minute, get our attention to help realize the importance of that truth. And so we've looked at prayer. Here's what we've looked at. We've looked at the nature of prayer. What exactly does it mean? We said this, prayer indicates a relationship. Now, we're going to go to the text in a minute. Prayer indicates a relationship. The model prayer starts off with our Father. So that means that you and I have a relationship because He's our Father, but He's our Father. There's a relationship that we're saved, but the relationship is also indicative of a relationship between us and God Himself. Now again, a lot of what I'm saying here is not new, but we need to be reminded of this simply because prayer makes a difference.
Yes, sir.
It sure does. So prayer indicates a relationship. Prayer indicates a need. And I know I mentioned this earlier as we talked. John R. Rice wrote a book called Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. Okay? Yeah, not a bad book. But here's the thing. The emphasis was on asking and receiving. It was not on the... Listen, prayer is first and foremost a relationship shows a relationship of communication. It's not about God being a, you know, rub the lamp and He comes out and gives us three wishes and we get what we want. Okay? That's not how this works. So prayer does, though, indicate a need. And it's that, you know, somebody's bigger than us. There's something that's above our heads. We need something to be done about it. Prayer does indicate receiving. And we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on tonight. And so we see that prayer, and last of all, prayer involves thanksgiving. And we looked at several verses where Paul prayed with thanksgiving. And we looked at several. Romans 1:8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf. Ephesians 1:15, 16, he said, after heard your faith, cease not to give thanks for you. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We go on and on and on, but there's thanksgiving. We ought to thank God for answered prayer. We ought to thank God that He has condescended, if you will, to enter into our lives beyond what He's already done and to give us what we have asked for. And so we've talked about the nature of prayer, and then we said this, not only that, but when we look at how the Apostle Paul prayed, we're going to take, prayer in general, let's look at how the apostle to the Gentiles prayed. And we said this, that he did pray with thanksgiving. He prayed specifically, he prayed expectantly, and he prayed consistently. And so we've talked about his prayer life. So if we're going to do that, we ought to pray with thanksgiving. We ought to be specific. You know, remember Brother Stanton Blue, God bless our missionaries. Well, how far did that get? Yeah, Brother Sam Freed was sharing with us, you know, here the other week about a prayer service he was in where prayer requests lasted 30 minutes. And the prayer time was every bit that long, a little bit longer. And he said, honestly, what I was expecting was at the end of those 30 minutes of prayer, somebody to stand up and say, "Oh, Lord, you know all these needs. Please bless them in Jesus' name. Amen." And then everybody just walk out the door. That's what he expected. But instead of that, there was prayer by specific people for specific prayer requests. And so, prayer needs to be specific, and we mentioned a little bit about that. And we've talked a little bit about it before, but we ought to expect an answer to our prayer. If any man wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, a breath not shall be given him. But, what's the caveat? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't ask God for something and then walk along like, "Well, I don't expect him to answer me." Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. We come to God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We ought to be able to remember that. So God is a God who answers prayer. Okay, so with that, let's pray expectantly, believing God to do something. There needs to be an expectation that when we ask God to do something, it's going to happen. I remember talking to a lady. She was at Sammy Allen's at Faith Baptist Camp. This has been years ago. She and her husband had no children. They adopted a son, and they tried to be good to him, tried to love on him, tried to be, you know, but he just decided he was going to do his own thing. He got away from God, out in the world, been married umpteen times, all that. He just wanted them just a sad situation. And when all he's out in the world, but she said that she was down there at Faith Baptist Camp, and God had, and she'd been praying that God would save him. And she said this, God told her, God gave her the assurance that he was going to do it. And she said she just shouted all over the house. And I'm going to tell you, that's been years ago, and I haven't heard anything to say that her prayer, as far as end time, has been answered. But she already praised God for it. And I'm sure there are times that she's felt like, is God going to do it? Almost like David, you know, David's anointed, he's going to be king. The man of God's there, Samuel's been there, he's poured the horn of oil on David's head. And then, you know, several chapters later, he's like, there's but a step between me and death. You know, I'm not going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to be king or not. Human nature kind of took over, and he let his eyes get away from heaven and his eyes get down on the circumstances. And so we've got to pray expectantly. Now I want to look tonight in Matthew chapter number 7. And if we're going to pray expectantly, we need to be able to pray confidently. If we're going to have an expectation that God's going to answer our prayer, then we need to have confidence when we pray. So look at Matthew chapter number 7. Look at verse 7. You ready? Here it is. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, with what we're seeing right here, to me, it's almost like God stands in front of us and there is a blank check paid to the order of, and on the bottom right down here, you see Jesus' name signed. And the check's blank. Now, I understand that there is a sense in which people ask selfishly. They ask for the wrong motives, the wrong reasons. And later on, we're going to see that it's if we ask anything according to God's will that He hears us and gives us what we ask for. But here's the thing I want us to see. In this text, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's already talked about the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. It says he's already talked about that. Well, now he is coming over here. And of course, that prayer, it is about relationship. It is about starting off that we are sons. And at the very end of it, we get to the point to where we're nothing but beggars. And we ought to just be grateful that God hears us at all. And then we get over here to verse number 7 of the next chapter. And we're given specific instructions not only to pray, but words that describe how prayer should be. And then it gets further into what we can expect when we do what Jesus says. So first of all, I want you to look in verse number 7. Jesus says, he didn't say if you ask, he just says ask, seek, and knock. And then he gives us the result of that. So if you will, there is a command, there is a condition, but then the reception is in verse number 8 down here. Now before I get into this, let me say at the outset, I want to be really careful because what I'm getting ready to say, I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. Don't worry, I'm not going to say anything bad or anything. It's like, oh my gosh, what's he going to say? But if you'll look in verse number 7, ask, what happens when we ask? It's going to be given. If we read seek, and after seek, what happens when you seek? You're going to find it. And if we knock, what's the result? Shall be open. Okay, so every one of these actions receives an answer. Every one of them does. Ask, seek, and knock. And of course, you've seen this before, and I've talked to it about it, but I want to just to remind us, the word ask, A-S-K, every one of these commands is spelled out, if you will, in the first, contained in the first. Ask is an A, S, C, K, knock. It's all an ask right there. Now, each action receives an answer. So I don't want to pour too much difference into the actions, ask, seek, and knock. But if you read those, it's interesting that Jesus uses different words. And what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a different attitude in prayer. And again, I don't want to pour in too much difference, but the words are different. And if the words are different, then we got to put the meaning into the words that are used. So what I'm seeing, almost what I see, is I'm seeing something of a progression. Ask, seek, knock. Now I'll be honest with you, I don't know if it's an act, if it's a progression of maturity. Where when young children ask, they pretty much get what they ask for. You want to have your children have confidence in you. Get a little bit older, then you're going to have to do a little bit work on your own as far as the seeking goes. Then the knocking, it's like, man, you got to start shaking the bushes to get something. In some senses, I can see a progression of maturity, but in another sense, I see a progression of aggression or intensity. It's one thing to go up to somebody and ask. It's another thing to step past the person you're asking and kind of look around and see what's out there. And you want to know what's behind door number 2. So what do? You don't have to dress up like a carrot. Okay? Monty Hall, never mind. I'm just asking. Some of y'all are like, what are you talking about? Watch some 70s reruns, all right? These older folks, they know what I'm talking about. But you want to find out what's behind the door, so you go, you start knocking. So I really can see a progression, not just of maturity perhaps, but I'm seeing a progression of aggression or intensity. So I want to look at each one of these. We've already kind of just hinted around at that. But I want to look at each of these words just briefly and see what we have here. So the very first one is the word ask. Is the word ask. And so if we're looking at ask, let's see what that word is. So if we look at the word ask, exactly what does that mean? Well, if we ask something, the basic definition is simply to make a request. That's it. That's it. That's it. We could compound that definition by looking at different words that we use in our language to be able to describe asking something. So if I'm making a request, then I'm asking for something. I am, watch this, pleading for something. And in some senses, I could almost be demanding something. But the context would be determinant of what I'm going to. So let's say I have paid to get in to see a particular person, or I've got an appointment at the state house to see a state senator. I got an appointment there. So I go in, I go through security, and I'm getting ready to go up, and somebody say, "What do you want?" I'm asking to see Senator, Crider, let's say. Well, you'll have to come back. Well, I'm asking you to see him. Now, if I'm saying, "Now I'm asking you to see him," you can read between the lines. You can see my frustration. You can hear my voice inflection. You can see that I'm getting ready just to be like not nice to people. If I've got an appointment, that ask is really a demand. I've got a demand. I remember the old World War II vet that you've heard me talk about before. After he retired, he bought a Cadillac. Really nice Cadillac. And them things, man, they just ride smooth. Oh, just is nice. Rode really nice. And he said one day he was out of town and he had a particular issue and I can't remember if it was a mechanical issue that the Cadillac had that the people at Cadillac knew about. Can't remember exactly what was going on. But he went to a local dealership for the Cadillac and here's my issue. And he said, I'd like to get that fixed. Well, sir, I just don't know if we can do that or not because of X, Y, and Z. And you just have to know this fellow. I mean, he was like 6'1", something like that. He was a hoss back in the day. And just you'd have to know him. He was very one-sided and very persuasive. And he looked at them and he said, "I have a Cadillac." And just to use his good old East Tennessee phraseology, he said, "I've got a guarantee that you'll fix this vehicle if this goes wrong." Now, he's from that generation where if you shake on it, it's good. If you got it in writing, it's, so let it be written, so let it be done, And so he wasn't budging until they fixed the issue. He was asking them, but some of that ask was a little bit beyond more than just a polite request. And so if we're looking at that word ask here, it can have that shade of meaning of simply requesting, asking. But at the same time, if you're in a position where you really can't argue, maybe your asking is going to be a plead. God help. Most of the prayer requests that we have, in all honesty, we're going to be requesting in a pleading form. We're not going to demand anything of the Lord in a particular sense. Now, if we've got some things that God has said He's going to do, we bring those promises before. What did Moses do? He reminds God about the promises of God. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't repeat the word of God back to God because He knows what it means. He already knows what it says." Well, sure, He knows what it says. He also knows your heart and He knows what you're getting ready to say, and yet He's told you to pray. The pattern is we take what God says, sit it back in His lap, and say, "God, honor Your word." That's it. And plead on God to do that. So ask I'm seeing a request here. But if you look at the next verb that is, or the next command, it's the word seek. So we ask as far as a request, but if I'm seeking something, that doesn't simply indicate I'm requesting or I'm pleading or even demanding. It indicates, listen, that I am actively pursuing what I'm interested in. Seek. It may be that, well, first of all, let me give you this. The word seek here, as you would know, means to look for. Sometimes it carries with it the idea of to investigate, to seek out something. Oh, yeah. Amen. So sometimes we're trying to seek an answer. So I would argue that this word seek goes beyond a simple request, because here's why. Listen, if your heart is not in it, you ain't going to seek it. Amen. Brother John, why does everybody not deer hunt? It's early, it's dark, and it's cold. Oh, and it requires patience. So if you're seeking a game animal, it's not like you can go to the store at Kroger. Hi, I'd like an 8-point buck, please. It don't work that way.
That's right, brother. Come on.
But you got to go where the deer be found. You got to go to their house, okay? You got to go where they're at. And once you get there, you have to be intent on getting one. Otherwise, you're not going to get up out of the bed at dark 30, get into the woods at dark, do all the prerequisites as far as your clothing, as far as your license, as far as your firearms or your weapon, what you're going to use, because you're seeking something. You've taken care of all that because your focus is on the pursuit of that particular animal. It's interesting that the psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That almost sounds like a pursuit. The pursuit of God. Man, that'd make a great title for a book. Oh, wait, it's already taken. A.W. Tozer already got that. Man. But that word seek means to pursue. So if somebody is looking for an answer, they're going to seek it. So let's say this, that you make request for a specific thing, and the Lord doesn't quite answer just yet. There's going to be some seeking involved. You're probably going to be seeking the Scripture to find out if God has any particular thing to say about what you've asked Him for and how He might respond. So there's going to be some seeking. So it's not that I'm just simply seeking a particular item, a particular entity, a particular answer per se, this thing out here that I want to have God answer. But there's a whole lot more involved in that. I am engaged in a pursuit of God's person, His character, His righteousness, who He is as I am asking this prayer. Do you see that? There's so much in there. And if we're not careful, we'll pretend that we're seeking when we simply call out, Lord, please bless, you know, Mr. Jones or something like that. God help Mr. Jones. Lord bless Mr. Jones. Lord give Mr. Jones a good day. And we just keep going. All we're doing is calling something out. There's not much seeking there. But listen, if we seek, we're going to be specific. We're going to be specific. Brother John's deer hunting. How many times have you wanted just to blast the squirrel that's chirping over there and causing all kinds of racket because he's just driving you crazy? Oh, yeah. And what you want to do, hurling the Lord, bang, you know, just get rid of him. Can't do that. I mean, you could, but, you know. Yeah, that's right. But listen, the focus is on the deer, not on Bucky the squirrel. And if we're not careful, we'll lose a focus of a particular pursuit. So there's a request, but there is a pursuit in the word seek. And lastly, in verse number 7 again, the last command. So there's ask, seek, and the last command is this, it is knock. Now, if I'm asking, I'm simply making a request. If I'm seeking, I am pursuing something. But if I'm knocking, that implies a couple of things. Number one, it implies fervency or importunity because I'm... That's it. I remember when I used to go on visitation down in Tennessee, one of the men was, you know, we would go out and we would knock on the doors, you know, go to the trailer park, pick up the kids. Nobody come to the door. Well, Brother Mike used to be a police officer. And so he comes up there and he's like, no. Yeah, he knocked on the door with authority. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, watch out, old bulldogs on, you know, old bulldogs on the job. That's what they called him. He was the bulldog. Well, he just simply knew how to get people's attention. And so if there is a knocking, there is a fervency or an importunity, I will not be denied. But the knocking not only implies fervency, it also implies, listen, proximity. I mean, if I'm knocking on the door, watch me here. What I'm looking for is right on the other side.
Sure.
Right on the other side. I'm looking for something, but that knocking implies, man, I'm close. I don't want to draw too much into that because I don't know that our Lord is really trying to convey that, so I want to be very careful here. But using that word knock, it implies that the answer is just on the other side. The door's closed, and you're seeking entrance either simply to go through that door because you want in that room, or someone or something is on the other side of that door that you want, that you need to see, etc. So what I'm seeing here is a progression that goes from a simple request to a seeking to where the answer is, if as you were almost right on the other side of the door. And that fervency is created by that proximity that you have to the answer there. So what does all that mean? Verse 8 says this, everyone that asketh receiveth. If you ask, you will receive. Now we know that there are caveats on that. Let him ask in faith what? The scriptural principle, nothing wavering. Okay? We understand that. If we're seeking, what did Paul say about in Philippians 2:21? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So if we're seeking our own, if we seek and ask God to provide, is God going to let us find? No, he's going to pull the blinders down. We won't be able to see things. And if we're knocking, if we're close, we're in proximity, that's going to indicate that we're going after the right thing in the right manner, the right way, and God's going to allow us to have that and open the door to us. I mean, the Lord shuts and no man's open. No man opens. But when the Lord opens, no man's going to shut.
That's right.
When God gives it to us, God's going to be the one. And Jesus, and again, I don't want to take the... We've got to be careful we pour too much meaning into every little bitty, any word and phrase. But, you know, sometimes, you know, Jesus said, I'm the door. Well, when you're knocking, you're not knocking on Jesus. He's using that as an instance of an illustration of what it's like to pray. So I'm seeing a progression here. So when we pray, there may be a starting off of a request. Then there may be a little bit more. And listen, those who ask receive. Again, I don't want to be pouring too much into this. But I'm seeing those who may ask, just give a request, then perhaps there may be a little bit of seeking beyond that. Maybe making the prayer more specific. Maybe making, you know, fine-tuning it a little bit. We pray for people's health. We also pray for people's salvation. We pray for different things. And God knows what they need, and we want to conform ourselves to God's will. People say, "Well, Lord, we're going to ask these prayers. Lord, if and here, can I tell you, this is just a cop out. This is a cop out. Jesus, if you want to heal, we're praying that you to heal Mr. Jones, Lord. But according to your will, do whatever you think's right." Well, look, if Jones is healed, you got your prayer answered. Jones is healed, or he dies, you got your prayer answered because you did the old cop out. You know, Lord, your will. How about we just pray, God, heal that person. And if you say no, then you just plumb say no. Heal that person. And I'm not saying pin God down, but listen, do you want him to heal? Well, I want to pray according to the Lord's will. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to pray according to the Lord's will too. But at the same time, the Lord's told me that, you know, I can ask for the desires of my heart. And if I'm asking here, I don't know if it's according to God's will that he heals somebody, but if I ask God, heal Mr. Jones, and God heals him, guess what? He answered my prayer.
Amen.
And if I say, God, heal Mr. Jones, and if you don't heal him, I'll take that as a, and you'd let him die, I'll take that as a no. Sometimes God says no. Well, God answered your prayer. I understand that. But I'm asking for a yay, not a nay.
Amen.
Let's be specific about those things. Be specific about it. Got word about Brother Harvey's sister last week, and we're down to prayer camp. We tried to pray on that. Lord, just help her. Give her grace. And Lord, we don't want somebody just to die, but God, in your grace, just let her go. Her flesh is holding on and fighting for dear life. It wants to hold on. After being taken off, I think they took her off of life support. I want to say it was Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. And it was it was only until early Friday morning at 3 o'clock when she finally crossed over. How hard the flesh fights. Well, we prayed that God would just make her crossing easy. Pray down south, Lord, let her just find a good place to cross and just cross on over. God answered that. God didn't let her suffer anymore, didn't let her go on anymore. In his grace, he allowed her body just to stop trying to hold on to life so her soul could just cross on over, be with Jesus. God answered that prayer. God answered that. So tonight, what I want us to do when we pray, listen, we ought to pray confidently. Do we know that the prayers, now with everything that I've just said about praying in God's will, let me show you exactly where that's mentioned, okay? Let's just go over to 1 John chapter number 5 and we'll finish up here tonight. I know that we've talked about this before. Have you noticed I say that a lot? Apparently I repeat myself. It's okay. Again, amen. Chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. Yes, sir. And we're going to look at verse number 14 and 15. In fact, we're going to see the condition after we're already told that we have confidence. So 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, watch this, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, I don't know if someone being healed is according to God's will. That's why I'm just going to go ahead and pray. And if God, if you say yes, you answered my prayer the way I wanted it. You say no, you answered the prayer the way I didn't want it, but you still gave a result. But there are certain things that are according to God's will. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So it's the will of God for everybody to be sanctified. So here's what I can do. I can pray that God would sanctify his people. And I'm praying in the perfect will of God. It's not God's will any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I'm not going to narrow that to Israel. I'm going to narrow that down to whosoever will. So watch me here. You ready? If I'm praying for God to save sinners, I'm praying in the will of God.
True. Amen.
Amen. And if I call out specific names, I understand that they've got a will and they've got to decide. They've got to submit themselves. But if I'm calling out specific people, I'm praying in the perfect will of God. It's God's will that people pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, amen, that he'll do what? That he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's God's will that laborers, that servants be sent. So if I pray and ask God to send people into the harvest, guess what? I'm praying in the will of God. And guess what God's going to do? I'm going to see that happen. Now be careful, because I might put your name on that. I might stick your name in it. Amen. And I promise none of this is revenge praying. I promise it's not. It's not. I promise that. Lord, please send Brother Rooster to the depths of the Congo so we don't... No, I wouldn't do that. No. But if I were to tag a name, God send this person to this place, or send this person into your service, I'm praying in the will of God. I'm praying in that. Miss Sarah, it is God's will that you pray for Lydia and for Eli and Josiah, that he would save them, set them apart, and put them into service. That is the will of God. Amen. Brother, same thing with your daughters, brother, Lynn and Molly. It's God's will that they be saved. It's God's will that they serve. Amen. And I'll throw it out one more time. I'd rather have my children 10,000 miles away on the other side of the world in the middle of God's will than to live right down the road from me, living a miserable life because they don't know what God wants them to do. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. That's exactly right. Amen. That's right. So I could look and say, Dylan, look at me, Dylan. Don't be a disappointment. Be obedient to do what the Lord wants you to do. All right? Amen. That's exactly right. So I could look at Hannah, and I could look at Savannah, and I could look at Sarah, and say, don't be a disappointment. Brother Richard, Junior, don't be a disappointment. Find where God, you know, Brother Sammy Allen used to say, and he would quote Brother Bob Jones Sr. on this, find the possum's trail of the will of God for your life and get on it, and don't let anything turn you aside. Find what God wants you to be, where you want, and just do it. Do that. So we're going to be praying that God will do things in folks' lives. Praying for that. Amen. So let's pray. So tonight when we pray, let's pray confidently. Do we have any verse to back up the request that we're asking? I'm just going to throw that out. There may be some verses that we automatically know. We're going to pray for sinners, okay? Pray for folks to get right, all those things. But are there any particular verses that you could bring before the throne of grace and, God, here's why I'm asking this. Here it is. You know how the police, when going to somebody to apprehend them, they'll say this, I have a blank for your arrest. What do we call that? A warrant. I have a warrant for your arrest. What if we were to go before the judge with a warrant from his word? Present that warrant to the judge. Judge, I'm asking for this person that they be saved. And I know that I have a warrant, because it's Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, to enjoy art, to enjoy literature, to create music. No, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So if I take that warrant, I bring it before the judge of all the earth. Perhaps the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Ghost, will take that warrant and arrest that person's heart and draw them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hey man, take it to him. Take that before God in prayer. Give him a verse. Now listen to me. There's a lot of this, and I mentioned this the other day because there was a woman who prayed at the state house. And listen, she was in error. She was in great error. I understand that life and death are in the power of the tongue. I understand that. I can assassinate your character in 10 seconds by what I say. Kings in the days of Solomon, all they had to do was say off with their head, and guess what happened? Heads would roll. That was the way it was. But I do not have power to create anything by my words. I can't speak life over Victory Baptist Church. There's only one who can do that. We speak life over our city. No, you know, barefoot babies and biscuits, sister, okay? You need to learn that, all right? We don't speak life over Greenfield. We don't speak into this situation. Look, your words do not have power. Your words don't have power. But when you call on God from the heart, that is where the power lies. Understand that it's not so much our words that do anything, but it's us calling on the one who has all power that gets things done. So I would just say tonight, let's pray confidently that if you and I have a verse of Scripture that we're using tonight, that we would allow God's word to be our warrant to request the things that we're going to request tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I hope that is a help tonight. I hope that's a help. I know it wasn't Brother Harvey. You might have got Barefoot Babies and Biscuits part two or three. Amen. You just might have. Amen. Hey, it's real simple. It's real simple. Mary, bear children, guide the house. Barefoot Babies and Biscuits. Bless God. I mean, yeah, I got it down. What's that? No. Barefoot Babies and Tortillas. That's right. Okay, amen. Amen. That's all right. That may be what the Greek word means. It may be interpreted into, you know, a biscuit. Or just be... Amen. 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 Yeah. Hey, I'm multicultural. I'm all for it. Let's try it all. Amen. Amen. Hey, give none offense to the Jew, Gentile, or the Church of God. And the Church of God's made up of all those different cultures. So it's like, hey, I'll take the biscuits. Somebody else, it's okay. I'll have a tortilla. It depends on, I'll take some cornbread too and all the rest. Amen. Do that. Amen. All right. So, hallelujah. I don't know where that came from. Man, I felt a little nudge on that. So, that was good. All right. Well, take what we'll do. We will take some prayer requests and we'll pray.